Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The Mark Twain National Forest encompasses a large part of the Show-Me State, and the abundance of that natural landscape takes a lot of work to manage. St. Louis Public Radio's Rolla correspondent Jonathan All recently sat down with the forest's new leader to talk about his background, goals for the forest, and how he intends to make Missouri home. Here's Jonathan.
The Mark Twain National Forest is big, very big. It spans more than 1.5 million acres across southern Missouri. It takes a team of U.S. Forest Service employees in 7 district offices to manage the land. But one person is the forest supervisor for all of the Mark Twain National Forest. Vince Keeler was appointed to that position in July. Vince, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks, Jonathan, for having me. Great to be here.
How did you get started in your forestry career that's more than 20 years now?
Well, I will tell you that it's a long story that I'll try to make short, but my senior year in high school, and there was a forestry club that I refused to join. And I actually was kind of curious about what they were doing and decided to just ask a bunch of questions. Despite not joining that club, I actually grew up in the country on a farm, and so I oftentimes got lost in the woods. But long story short, I was able to go to school for forestry and environmental science, actually on a scholarship, and intern with the Forest Service throughout my time in school.
And where did you grow up?
Grew up in Mississippi, the south end of the Holly Springs National Forest, a little small town called Coffeyville, Mississippi.
And you've worked in forests in the south, the west, and the northeast, correct?
That's correct.
So how did you end up coming to Mark Twain National Forest?
I tell you, back in 2021, I took a temporary assignment here as the deputy forest supervisor to help support the forest. And I'll be honest with you, it was one of the coldest times that I've experienced, and it was a shocker to be in Missouri during that time. But I actually fell in love with the forest and all the wonderful things that they had going on.
What makes the Mark Twain National Forest different than maybe some of the other national forests that you've worked in or that you're familiar with?
So this is one of the largest national forests that I've worked in, with 1.5 million acres. And being somewhat positioned in the south, it makes it a little bit unique in being in amongst the Ozarks. And then I will say all the partners that the Mark Twain worked with, we are one of the forests in our region that leads in fire and fuel targets and timber targets. So I would say we pack a mighty punch when it comes to managing natural resources.
Maybe can you define a couple of those terms, fire targets and timber targets, what that means?
So timber, in terms of managing the forest and managing a healthy forest and a healthy ecosystem. So we tend to thin timber. And basically, just in terms of managing the, a healthy forest, we also conduct prescribed burns as well. So prescribed burns, so if you put yourself in the mind of the Western wildfires, you know, those are uncontrollably burns. So for us, we like to actually prescribe the burns. So in any event we do get a wildfire, you won't have those massive smoke columns and wildfire, and we'll be able to control it and put it out a little bit quicker.
I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with Mark Twain don't realize that, you know, we call it the Mark Twain National Forest, but there's, what, 7 or 8 little different pieces, and they range from the Arkansas border in the southwest corner of the state. There's a little bit up in Boone County, and then all the way over to a little bit south of St. Louis. How do you think about the forest as one entity when there are all these little different pieces that aren't connected?
That's a good point. It is spread out But we do manage it as one. You know, there's a little bit of a different dynamics in each direction, but the thing about it is we make sure we want to you know, manage it as a whole. Although it is spread out, we look to just kind of operate under one forest management plan, even though it's difficult. It takes about 2 hours to go from one forest, one end of the forest to the next. We tend to do a good job of communicating and working with our partners to make sure we achieve those goals and objectives.
You mentioned partners, and a lot of this job seems to be working with private landowners that have land that is adjacent to the forest, other federal properties that are adjacent, state-owned properties that are adjacent. What's your approach to working with landowners who have land that is next to forest land?
Great question again. So we definitely work with the state and some nonprofits to make sure we're educating some of the private landowners in terms of the natural resources. And like if we have any invasive species that extend across our borders, we want to work with partners and work with local landowners to help manage that. The good thing about it is we realize we're not the only experts in the room when it comes to natural resources. So now we partner with state agencies and nonprofit and local entities to make sure we get their input in terms of managing the forest and working across boundaries.
I imagine it's a balance point to make sure that you're always respecting someone's private property rights, but also making sure that they understand the goals of the Forest Service, because the flora and fauna don't know when the forest property ends and when private property begins. So how do you build collaborative relationships to get everybody on the same page in a positive way?
Great question again. So we tend to work with, like I said, a lot of the nonprofits, which are tend to be, you know, everyday people, you know, just coming together for the common good and common goal. And so one way we help to build collaborative relationships is just getting to know them, understanding their interests, understanding our values as a whole and what we want to protect. And so by developing that relationship, cultivating that relationship, I think we tend to solve a lot of problems together.
Do you take a similar approach to volunteers? Because I think that a lot of people may not be aware of the number of volunteers that help in the Mark Twain National Forest.
Yes, and from what I've told, I've only been here a little bit over a week and a half, but we do have a huge volunteer program. And, you know, thinking about it, I don't think we can manage this forest without them. And so kudos to them. I definitely appreciate them and looking forward to working with them in the future.
You're listening to St. Louis on the Air. We're speaking with Vince Keeler, the recently appointed supervisor of the Mark Twain National Forest. He's based at the forest's primary office in Rolla. Vince, what about recreation? And how do you approach getting the public involved and engaged with this public land in a way that is good for them and also good for the forest?
In terms of recreation, we tend to work with partners who kind of understand the outdoors and understand recreation. I've come from a forest that was huge on recreation with ski resorts and nice hiking trails, so maybe a little bit of a different form. But we like to do outreach and education in forms of recreation to help people understand the importance of the resource and how to properly, you know, use it. You know, you have a lot of people come to the National Forest for many different reasons, and they come from diverse areas. Just for instance, if you have someone coming from St. Louis and they're used to the noise of the city, they may get scared being in in the woods or hiking on a trail, whereas you have someone else from maybe a rural area and just want to continue to have serenity and peace and quiet, you know, they actually, you know, they're hiking or recreating for a different reason. And so just helping people try to understand and respect each other's differences when it comes to being out on trails, for example.
Do you think the Forest Service plays a role in trying to encourage a wider and more diverse group of people to be engaged with the forest? Because I think that especially in a more rural area like where we are now, people who grew up in this area are familiar with the forest. It's somewhere they grew up. You grew up in a forest. How do you get more people who may not think of themselves as forest people to take advantage of these natural areas and be able to enjoy them?
So we definitely have a division of our forest, the Forest Service and state and private forestry. State, private, and tribal forestry. And we actually have a urban connection person in St. Louis that worked to help people basically get to the national forest. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with that person here on Friday and looking forward to working with them in terms of understanding our partnerships and the different ways that we are getting the urban areas to the forest.
What do you think are going to be the biggest challenges that you're going to face in this job?
I would think some of the biggest challenges that I would face would be being all things for everyone. You know, the National Forest is for everyone, and we manage for multiple uses. And so sometimes it could be difficult if someone wants one thing in terms of, larger trails, for example, and versus someone want a bike and trail or whatnot. And so just being able to understand people's needs and being able to work together to just make sure everyone enjoy the forest.
Mark Twain National Forest for decades now has been working to really have tree populations that are more consistent with what was native here. And you mentioned the prescribed burns, and there's a lot of work going on to try to make that more sustainable for the long term and maybe undo some of the overgrowth that happened when European settlers came in here 100 years ago or so. Do you see that as a critical part of your mission to continue working on those projects with the Mark Twain National Forest?
Yes, that's always a critical part of a mission to make sure we continue that good work that's started, a long time ago, and to continue to follow our forest plan and to make sure we're doing good for the land. Got a lot of work to do, but I'm excited to be here to do it.
The time frame on a forest is hundreds of years. You know, a short amount of time in a forest can be 50, 60 years. And so you'll be here, even if you're here for a long time for a forest supervisor, you'll only be here for a little piece of that. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that you build on what's been going on, set up for the future, but also have a real impact today?
I would say to just really understand the past and definitely embrace the present and just work towards planning for the future. And again, like I said, we understand that we're not the only experts in the room, and we can't do that alone. So just working with partners and working with the public to make sure we set it up for future generations, and so that can that's really the ultimate goal.
One environmental issue that's affecting a lot of us is the way that the climate is changing. How does that affect the way that you manage the forest and look towards what the future is going to bring?
Great question again. So with, When it comes to climate change, we do have to make those adjustments, and it can be difficult. I remember some time in my career just walking with a landowner who used to hunt and fish on the national forest, and he was just telling the story of how things were when he was a kid and how he would love to take his granddaughter out and show them, you know, how things were and wanted their grandkids to experience that same experience. But things are just not the same, you know, rather it's because of climate change or just because of the times that we're in. You know, it can be difficult to understand, but we have innovative ways and working with research to better understand that and make adjustments to our management practices.
You mentioned earlier that when you were younger, you got lost in the woods and you enjoyed that. Being a forest supervisor, will you still have time to get lost in the woods?
You know what? I actually make it a priority to get lost in the woods. I was just telling our employees last week, I said, the best way to meet with me is on the ground. Let's schedule a meeting out in the woods, out on the trail, looking at our resources, looking at the projects in real life, and just having fun and enjoying nature while we're meeting and working towards solving the problems and solutions and coming up with solutions.
Working for the Forest Service is a little bit of a transient business. You get moved around a lot, as you have already in your career. And our last supervisor was only here for a couple years. Do you have any sense of how long you think you might want to stick around?
Great question. I tell you, once me and my wife, we came and we looked around. And we was like, you know what? I think we can make this home. And I got so excited to know that this definitely could be a place we can call home throughout the rest of my career. So I'll be honest with you. I'm excited. Hopefully, you don't kick me out. I definitely want to be able to serve the public and serve the people here of Missouri and just do a good job. And so, in other words, I really don't plan on going anywhere.
Well, I'm very curious. You said you looked around and you thought you could make this home. What did you see or what did you feel that made you think that?
Mainly, it's a beautiful place. The people here are great. Our employees, they're, oh my goodness, hardworking, down to earth. And like I said, working with the partners, which I look forward to, there's a lot of things going on that I think that will keep me busy for a long time, and I get excited about.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Audio engineering by Jonathan Aw.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.